Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
Putting holiday gifts on the credit card, shelling out for marked up plane tickets, catering Christmas Eve dinner, everyone has at least one financial worry this time of year. For many low-income families in North Texas, the stress of surviving the holidays is crippling. This is Think on KERA. I'm Courtney Collins in today for Chris Boyd. When you don't have a job or have a job that barely pays the bills, getting through the holiday season can seem like running a gauntlet. Energy bills are going up, it's flu season, severe weather forces child care centers to close, not to mention the cost of gifts and holiday meals. Sadly, that's the expense many poor families would have to cut if not for the help of North Texas nonprofits. Kathy Packard is executive director of Family Gateway, a Dallas nonprofit that serves the homeless. Jessica Moncada is a case manager with Catholic Charities Fort Worth, an organization working to end poverty. Kathy, Jessica, thanks. Welcome to Think.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Jessica, I'm going to ask you a question first. Catholic Charities Fort Worth serves a lot of people, about 100,000. Without your services, what would the holidays look like for a typical client?
Well, thanks to Catholic Charities Fort Worth, last year, we 563 children in need received a Merry Christmas in 2014. But the other families that we serve aren't always so lucky, and so they sometimes only need, they have the struggle between wants and needs for Christmas. You know, there's the next box or all those other gizmos and gadgets, but then there's also those needs of having shoes or coats for the winter. So those families are on a waiting list of other agencies, you know, waiting to receive anything for the holidays.
And Kathy, Family Gateway serves the homeless. What's the holiday season like for folks you serve before they come into your program? Kind of describe it for me.
Well, we serve uniquely homeless families. So we don't define the family. It's an adult and a child under the age of 18. So they're all over the place in terms of where they come from. But before they get to our facility, they've had to experience homelessness, which means they may be couch surfing, they may be sleeping in their cars, they may be literally on the streets or sleeping next to a dumpster. It's heartbreaking what these families have to go through before they can find shelter of some sort.
And Jessica, you said you provided a Merry Christmas for more than 500 children. Tell me, what does that mean? What does it mean to provide children with a Merry Christmas at Catholic Charities Fort Worth?
Our Christmas Angels program provides shoes, clothing, coats, and then there's like a list of items at the, like a wish list of what the children would like. And so then volunteers all around the Fort Worth area can go on our website and pick a family, a child, and shop for them, and that they can pick whatever they want from there. So they get a little bit of their wish list along with those needs. And so that provides so much more to the family. It provides for the mom and dad as well that they were able to fulfill those wants and needs, even if it wasn't by their own way. Still being able to reach out to the community is something that is a vulnerable thing to do. And that is how they're able to sometimes make Christmas happen.
And same goes for you, Kathy. Is it the same sort of balancing act that Jessica described, the wants and needs, making sure both those boxes are checked this time of year over at Family Gateway?
Yes. We're serving about 415 families at this point and for the year, and that's equals about 800 children. We have a very generous board member. He's vice chair of our board, and his wife, who've created an online system where all of our case managers can open the doors, if you will, to this online system, and each family can fill out a form of who's in the family by name, or by name, by age and gender, and they can pick what the child wants for Christmas, and then they have to pick some needs for Christmas. And so it's a very automated friendly online system that was created just for our organization. So wants and needs do get met. It's not everything each family would want for Christmas, but definitely each person feels special.
And I'm interested to hear from both of you on this one. Jessica, we'll start with you. When somebody comes in and they're going to participate in the holiday program, so they're coming in for gifts for their children, what are their expectations? Do they have a long list of wants and needs, or is it hard to even get them to ask for anything at all, or is it somewhere in the middle?
I think we see both extremes, definitely. There's one where they do have this long list of what they would like for their children to have, sometimes unrealistic. And then there's also the other side of really all I want for my children is a roof over their heads, if possible. If not, there's a backpack. I had a family not so long when we were filling out that form that when she put under the wish list, her son just wants a new backpack. You know, so those kinds of things that we don't think in the middle class of that being completely a Christmas present, and that would mean a lot to this teenager to be able to go back to school after the holidays.
So, Kathy, same question for you. Tell me a little bit about the expectations. You're serving the homeless, so I'm sure a lot of the folks that you're serving during the holidays are not used to receiving much. What are the expectations when it's time to fill out their needs and wants for their children?
Well, one of the reasons we did the needs and wants format is because wants get confused with needs. And a mom wants to get her son an Xbox, but he really needs a coat. So it's a learning exercise for the case managers and our clients mm-hmm. on what really should you be asking for. And many times this is the first time an individual has had the luxury of picking something for her family or his family.
The backpack was a perfect example of something that you and I may not think of as a holiday gift. Any other things that surprised you that you saw on people's Christmas lists, either in the need or the want category? Kathy or Jessica, either one of you have anything that kind of just came up and you wouldn't have expected to see that?
We had one mom ask for multiplication cards for her child because she'd been participating in our Parents as Teachers program, and which is very popular. All of our parents with young children are part of this training, and she had loved working with the addition and subtraction cards, and it was time to move up to multiplication cards. It was just talk about unique. And it's a form of for this mom to play with her child and feel like she's benefiting her child.
So multiplication flashcards for Christmas.
Yeah.
So tell me, Jessica, what do you see come up over and over again on these lists, both in the wants or needs category? What do most people really, really want to make sure their children have this time of year?
At least one thing that the child wants. You know, they do want to fulfill some kind of gift that is what the child really truly wants for that holiday season. And a lot of the times it is something electronic. And I kind of wanted to go back to, I got an example of what she was talking about.
Sure, please.
Just because I thought it was so neat. I had a family where was single mom and her son, and when we were filling out this list, he had piped up and he's like, hey, I really would like to have some new church clothes because he's an altar boy. And he just wanted to make sure that he was presentable for church. And so that I thought was really neat, that out of everything he could ever want, it was already hard enough to get him to, what do you want? What is your list? And he's like, well, I would really like some slacks and some dress shoes and a button-up shirt for church. And so sometimes those wants, we don't really think of them as needs. And for him, it was definitely something that would be very special.
And I'm guessing that happens probably more than those of us who aren't involved in the nonprofit world think of. But kids are perceptive. They know what they need to have. And sometimes they're happy asking for a need and not a want. I feel like I've read a couple stories about kids piping up with something that is an essential and being perfectly happy with that for Christmas or Hanukkah or any part of the holiday season. Is that something you see a lot, kind of wise beyond their years? Kids who are in need just find the essentials?
I do. I see that a lot with single parents and their families, mainly because they see the struggles that are going through. And like you said, they're much more perceptive than we remember when we were children. And they notice this might help out my mom and dad, my mom or dad, you know, to make the holidays easier. And there's something about getting a gift as a child for Christmas, going back after Christmas break and having that shared experience with other children and, you know, be able to say, I got this for Christmas. And so it's just something, it's much more than just a material gift. It's the one moment in their lives, everything's completely normal.
Kathy, if there's a specific holiday need that doesn't seem like a traditional gift, like someone needs, for example, a bus ticket to go visit family over the holidays, do you all have any flexibility to provide that sort of service, or does it have to be something that can be tied up with paper and ribbon?
Well, we have bus passes that we give out to our clients. So that's something that they'll go to their case manager and ask for. But we always are anxious to get two things, gift cards that can be used for a variety of things, and then just general donations of basic hygiene products and beauty products. We have 79% of our parents are single females, and they need products that make them feel good, feminine hygiene products, shampoo, lotion, makeup, hair products. Those kinds of things are always appreciated and by everyone, all the moms in our group. We also really would love lingerie, especially in large sizes, because you're homeless doesn't mean as a mom you can't feel good about yourself.
And that was kind of ties into what I was going to ask you next, Jessica. And Kathy, you can elaborate also if you want to. But have you found that just providing some basic staples like a coat or a toiletry kit and then a few happy wants, how much of a difference does that make on just the psychology of the season for families and children? Does it really make a big impact to just have a few of those boxes checked off this time of year?
I think that also especially applies to our families that are in their situation right now because of a crisis, whether it's a medical crisis or loss of a job. Like Michi mentioned, and Kathy mentioned, the makeup. That seemed to be huge with a lot of our female clients. Being able to, they would say, feel like myself again. So, you know, when you're out of what your routine usually was or is, having even that normal routine of doing your hair, your makeup, getting dressed for work, it sets the tone for the rest of the day. And I think it sets the tone for what they're going to accomplish from there on. So it really makes a huge difference.
And Kathy, I know that Family Gateway has an interesting program where you have children serve that are in the program as well. Can you quickly tell me about that? We're about to go to break, but tell me a little bit about the Do Scottish Rite.
The favorite activity of our children is to go to First United Methodist Church and watch teddy bears get blessed by the ministers at First United Methodist Church downtown. Then the children go on a bus and go to Texas Scottish Rite Hospital, and each child gives a bear to one of the children at Texas Scottish Rite Hospital.
Thank you, Kathy. My guests today are Jessica Moncada of Catholic Charities Fort Worth and Kathy Packard with Family Gateway in Dallas. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-933-5372. We're back right after this.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education, with test preparation courses for graduate school admission, including the GRE, GMAT, and LSAT. smu.edu/test prep.
You're listening to Think. I'm Courtney Collins in today for Chris Boyd. Join the conversation by calling 800-933-5372, or you can email questions and comments to think@kera.org. This hour, we're talking about how people navigate the stress of the holidays when they're living paycheck to paycheck. It's part of KERA's new series, One Crisis Away at the Holidays, and you can find more stories about folks surviving the season at kera.org/holidays. We're joined by Jessica Moncada, case manager with Catholic Charities Fort Worth, and Kathy Packard, Executive Director of Family Gateway in Dallas. Thanks to both of you for being here today. So there are a lot of needs tied into this time of year that have nothing to do with gift giving. Kathy, since your organization serves the homeless, I'm guessing the first cold snap kicks off busy season for Family Gateway. What are you dealing with right now?
Well, nonstop phone calls, because you're exactly right. It's cold outside all of a sudden, and homeless families are desperate to find a place to stay. So our phones are ringing off the hook. Unfortunately, we don't have any unassigned units at this time. And that's a crisis in the Dallas marketplace because this is a hot real estate market, and there are virtually no vacancies, and certainly not if you're poor. There are some luxury places you can live if you're willing to pay, if you're able to pay market rate. But it's a tough, tough time of year, especially because this is such a booming economy in Dallas. We have a real problem finding housing.
And even if you have a place to live, cold weather can cost you. Jessica, does Catholic Charities get a lot of calls about heating bills and things associated with cold?
Oh, yes. Lots of calls to get that kind of assistance for their energy. I also have a client that actually just last week let me know that the new place that they're so proud of getting this new place because it's a family of a mom, dad, and three children. And it's a two-bedroom. Before they were in a one-bedroom, so they got a bigger place. And anyway, they didn't tell me till last week that actually there's no air. There's no heating in there at all. So now they have a very small space heater for the entire home. So now they're facing that of getting more space heaters, or because they don't even have a bill to begin with, you know, to ask for help. They just don't have any heating at all.
So they're just living without heating power at this point.
Right.
And that was what I was going to ask you next. Mm-hmm. So I know you all do provide energy assistance for folks that need help with utility bill. Do you also help if someone's heat has been cut off and they're trying to reconnect? Is that a service that Catholic Charities can step in and help with and get people back to living safely?
Yes, that is something that our program at Catholic Charities can go through case management and see if what's the best need for that family and be able to help with those disconnect services.
And Texas is an interesting place to talk about cold weather because obviously we do have a real winter here. You know, we have ice and snow later on, hopefully later on. We also have a cool fall. But it's not like the Northeast where everybody is just completely equipped with all the winter clothing and accessories. It's not as pervasive as it would be up there. Talk to me a little bit, Kathy, about the need for the winter coat, the gloves and the hats. Is that something you all see a big void with?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we do this wants and needs program with our families, and we're starting to get some of those warm weather attire already from the gifting process. But we also have a lot of donations from the community in terms of clothing. So we're pretty good with getting enough coats and scarves and hats. It may not be what the individual would have picked for themselves, but we're at least able to keep them warm. Always happy to have donations along those lines.
Jessica, do you find the same thing? Does the community respond with the cold weather gear? Are you usually in pretty good shape for providing that kind of clothing to people?
We have community partners that we reach out to be able to receive those things. So at our donation center, whatever we have there, sometimes we don't have enough of those needs. So then we reach out to our other community partners in the area. And it's Christmas Angels also seems to help with that part as well.
One thing I was talking about earlier with some of my colleagues is winter is kind of the season of the domino effect. For example, cars break down a lot when it's cold out. If you have a vehicle that's already old or in bad shape, it's more likely to break down. Do you see a lot of clients working through transportation issues this kind of year, this time of year? Jessica, tell me about that.
Oh, yes. The car seems to break down around this time of the year, this weather. And we have families who are wanting to use our transportation system, which is great, but with a newborn and a three-year-old, it can be very, very difficult. And then with the weather, so you're talking hours to get just 2 miles away in the weather. And then there's, Catholic Charities, we have a transportation program, and we're able to give those rides. But we appreciate to do that, but it can be very difficult for families with daycare and finding those very hectic schedules of job to daycare or just school and back.
Kathy, same thing. I know a lot of the clients you all serve use public transit. That's even a challenge in the winter. It means
Definitely.
Waiting outside. It also may mean delays in schedule. Talk a little bit about what they have to work through transportation-wise this time of year.
Well, it's very similar to what Jessica was talking about. I mean, we have, because we're in a family environment, literally, whether it's at one of our apartment sites or at our center downtown, families really help each other. So we see a lot of co-parenting, a lot of, you know, giving each other rides for those who have cars. We also have, thanks to Crystal Charity Ball, we have three school buses that we use to transport our children from their apartment site to quality early educational daycare centers. So that, of course, there are delays when there's bad weather, but we have access to those three school buses as well as two vans that we can use for our families at the center.
Let's talk a little bit about job-related challenges during the winter. Most daycares and public schools close down during ice or snowstorms, but a lot of people are still expected to be at work on those days. How does that challenge low-income people in North Texas? Jessica, what have you seen with that?
I've seen a little bit of what Kathy has talked about, helping each other, having that social capital in place and helping mm-hmm. each other with neighbors and family members where, you know, if one of them doesn't have the opportunity to have a job, the other one can, but then there's daycare involved, then they'll just drop off the kids at one place and then they're able to continue. I've also seen families who are working out in the elements, and so then they're out of the job sometimes if there's rain or bad weather, and so then they're just at home and they don't need to worry about daycare, but then there's also that paycheck that doesn't come in.
And Kathy, you talked a little bit about this. If you have that backup, if you have a family member or a friend that can help take care of your child on a day that daycare may not be an option, you're in good shape. It can get really challenging if that backup is not there or if that person that is your backup has a challenge. Speaking of, it's cold and flu season. We know that when kids are ill, they're not allowed to go to daycare. If you've got a fever, you have to stay home. But as a parent that has to work, that can get really tricky. Can you talk about just what you've seen people struggle with when they're trying to take care of their kids and trying to keep their job afloat? And has it ever cost people their jobs?
I can't speak to whether it's cost a family a job, but we continually coach our families on how to talk to their boss, how to comport themselves when they're in trouble. The biggest issue is let people who are depending on you know ahead of time, or as soon as you know you're not going to be able to make an appointment, give them a call, give them that courtesy. And a lot of bad things that could happen won't happen if you're just confident enough to call ahead. Not a great answer, but it's tough.
No, and, absolutely. So employability skills are kind of part of what you all
right.
work on, making sure that people are good communicators. And so if something comes up, at least they can tell their right. employer what's going on and hopefully retain that job.
The other piece is from the minute a family joins, becomes part of Family Gateway and is living in one of our facilities, they start a savings account. So if you've only been with us for a month, you probably don't have much in your savings account. But we do work with the families to help them manage their funds and save funds so that when there's a rainy day or a snowy day, they're not in severe danger.
So actually making a rainy day fund for a rainy day, perhaps.
Exactly.
Tell me a little bit about the type of work that your clients put together. I know a lot of people these days are putting together two jobs to make ends meet. Maybe it's an almost full-time job and another almost full-time job, or two part-times to almost equal a full-time. Jessica, do you see a lot of people trying to piece together employment to be able to pay the bills?
Absolutely. I have several clients right now that are working a job that is not completely fulfilling the 40 hours, maybe 28 or 32. So then they're going out to get another 30-hour job. So these folks are working 60 hours a week.
With no benefits, I'm assuming, on either job for
yes.
the most part.
Actually, the one that I'm thinking right now, she had the opportunity to get a better position to get benefits and then at the last minute turned her down. So then that's what made her turn to get a seasonal job for now. And now she's working both of those. But like you said, no benefits. And she would like to continue to receive services at MHMR, and we're going to help her through that, but now without that insurance that she used to have.
So speaking of seasonal work, I'm glad you brought that up. Is that something, Kathy, you see any of your clients take advantage of? This time of year, we know that obviously retail is just glutted with customers. Are they able to take advantage of seasonal jobs? Is that a good thing, or does it hurt after the holidays?
We have some who are taking advantage of that. We have a lot of families where they're in our program because they have someone in the family that's causing the family not to work, not to be able to work. Someone has a disability, whether it's a child or the parent. So that's about 30% of our families have that problem, that they can't, they're in this situation because they can't work. We do have people who do seasonal jobs. We have people who are about to graduate from college right now and will be taking up new jobs in the new year. It's all over the board, though.
Let's go to a phone call now. And Kathy, my guess is this is going to be a good one for you. The number is 800-933-5372, and we're going to talk to Belinda in North Richland Hills. Belinda, welcome to Think.
Hi. Thank you so much for your time. The position that my family finds ourselves in is we were part of the American Airlines layoff, and it just was a financial disaster. And so we had to break a lease, and then we would try to get started again, and we just didn't have the money to finish out a lease. Well, now we do. You know, we've been very stable with our income for 2 years, but we have five people living in a hotel room, and we're not having any luck finding someone who will rent to us.
Thanks for the call. That's a good question for Kathy to talk a little bit about rents and finding stable housing. Thanks, Belinda.
Unfortunately, this is a very, very tough time for families without means to be living in Dallas. There's there's almost literally no available supportive housing in the community right now, and we're trying to add to that, but we've got a building project that we're starting that will add as many as 300 apartment units to the community, of affordable housing to the community, but that project won't be finished for 2 years. It's just a tough market. I would suggest that you call Family Gateway and ask to speak to one of the intake people, and they can give you some recommendations of what they have in front of them right now that they know is available.
And this is something we hear a lot about, and yes, I'm sure you do too, but just the proportion of income that folks have to spend on housing is very, very high. Jessica, do you see folks with income, just like Belinda, still having trouble nailing down stable housing? Do you see the same thing in Fort Worth?
Oh, yes. That's a very, very vulnerable population where they're able to now receive or be able to pay for a place to stay. And then there's that eviction that's on there. And it makes it very, very hard to have anyone give you that opportunity to rent again. That's been, I've seen that several times in most recent. Yeah.
So just having a job really isn't the magic key to the apartment anymore.
No.
No, the eviction that Jessica mentioned is really a big problem.
And is that something that you all see with people who are homeless, people who are employed, people who are underemployed? It doesn't really discriminate at this point?
No.
No.
That makes sense to me. And do you have – do people – once they secure housing, is that something that psychologically, again, really helps buoy people back up and they start feeling like they can do more?
Oh, absolutely. To have a safe place to live with a roof over your head – and then support from case managers who really do intensive case management. You've stabilized your family. People can breathe. And you can start to rebuild one building block at a time. But it really requires case managers to help facilitate that. People like Jessica who do this on a daily basis. So it's getting that safe roof over your head is step one.
If you have I know a lot of people live with family in spaces that are not designed for that many people. I know that's something we hear a lot about. What kind of effect can that have on a child or adult when you're living maybe two or four to a room that's really meant for one, or six or eight to a room that's meant for two? What can that do?
Well, there's also, there's the space in itself. It kind of can blur the boundaries in families and not know what appropriate boundaries are outside of that. In that meaning to older children parenting the younger children, having those roles and responsibilities kind of intertwined. So that's what I've seen mostly.
My guests today are Jessica Moncada of Catholic Charities Fort Worth and Kathy Packard with Family Gateway in Dallas. We're talking about the stress of the holiday season for folks on the financial edge. It's part of KERA's series, One Crisis Away at the Holidays. Find more stories from the series at kera.org/holidays. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number is 800-933-5372, or you can email questions and comments to think@kera.org. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm @CourtneyLC82. We're back in 2 minutes.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education, with test preparation courses for graduate school admission, including the GRE, GMAT, and LSAT. smu.edu/test-prep.
This hour on Think, we're talking about how nonprofits work to calm holiday anxieties for folks on the financial edge. It's part of Kate Uray's new series, One Crisis Away at the Holidays, which you can find online at kera.org/holidays. I'm Courtney Collins, in today for Chris Boyd, and I'm joined by Jessica Moncada, case manager with Catholic Charities Fort Worth, and Kathy Packard, executive director of Family Gateway in Dallas. So we've talked a lot about how both your agencies serve North Texans in need. I'm wondering how difficult it is for nonprofits to actually plan for the holiday season. Is it even consistent from year to year? Jessica, Catholic Charities Fort Worth has a big client base, about 100,000 people served a year. How does the planning process start?
I believe that Goodfellows begins to accept applications for Christmas items in September, I believe. So it's months in advance of planning for those Christmas wants and needs. As far as other unexpected things, it all kind of depends on the funds availability as well for the season, and our case managers who do a great job to be able to do that case management one-on-one with those families and clients individually to be able to plan ahead. But that takes two, right? The client and the case manager.
And my guess is just guessing the number of applications you're going to get or how much money it's going to take to fund the program, that's not something you can guarantee the summer before, is it?
No, it's not exactly. So that is something that depending on the program availability and funds, but we do try our best to be able to meet as many needs and families that we can.
Kathy, the needs of the homeless are obviously unique since many people you serve are starting from scratch. What kind of advance planning for the holidays and the cold winter does Family Gateway do?
Well, we, like Jessica mentioned, we're planning early in September on what we're going to do for Christmas. But we've been around for almost 30 years, and we have a pretty good routine of when we need things and when we put out asks. Email is a wonderful tool. Constant Contact brings in needed emergency supplies almost within days. Asking for Halloween costumes, which is old news now, but you know, we got over 200 costumes for our children within about 2 weeks, thanks to Constant Contact and some of our tried and true donors.
So it sounds like you have the routine down. My guess is, though, since the beginning of Family Gateway, the trend in people served has just been up, up, up each year. Talk about just the challenges of being like, okay, this is probably going to be bigger than it was last year.
Well, that is a problem. We've grown 700% in the last 3 years, from serving about 55 families to serving 415. And we've had, this year has been a special bump. We've brought 115 families out of homelessness just in 2015. And that means when we're calling on our general donors for Christmas gifts, et cetera, we're calling them saying, look, this year is a bigger year. We have a greater need. We have more people. But let me remind you that your help is going to help us with the little ones who are coming into our programs, the 5 years and younger children who are most anxious this time of year that Santa is not going to find them because they've moved out of their home and they're in a new place. In fact, Santa will visit them on December 12th to discuss what gifts they want, and they will bring them presents that they asked for on Christmas Day.
What do you have any idea what would explain that bump? I mean, that seems pretty significant. What's going on?
We've added more housing units. It's simple. It's simple math.
More room to grow.
Right. We do a good job. Dallas Housing Authority and Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance award us more units because we do a good job.
And that's interesting you brought that up, because I was going to ask you both. I always feel like anytime I talk to a nonprofit agency this time of year, they always give me the liquid analogy. The bigger the container, the more they can fill. It's not like there's a finite need. As soon as they expand, the need expands too. Is that something that you've also found is true, Jessica?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. The Catholic Charities has, also grown and has been here since 1910. So, yeah, the bigger the container, the more the need and the more people will be able to help.
So you probably can't outgrow the problem then.
No, not right now.
Tell me a little bit about the importance of community contribution this time of year, both financially but also in terms of volunteers and service time given. Jessica, what does that mean to what Catholic Charities Fort Worth is able to do?
That is so much. We have volunteers that do our transportation as well, our fleet there, and then the shoppers, we call them, for Christmas Angels, Good Fellows. Then there's also volunteers who just even help us answer those phone calls, be able to provide hope over the phone. And then, of course, our donors, which we have our Creating Hope Luncheon on Wednesday to be able to receive the rest of those funds and for all those families in need. So it is essential to have all those donors in our community and volunteers.
And Kathy, I'm sure the same goes for you. Time and money helps the holiday season click on.
Oh, yeah. We're always, especially in December, that's when most of our giving happens. Probably 80% of our donations come in this time of year, and we desperately need every dime that we can get. But we also have some really generous folks who are helping lift the spirits of our families. And
let's talk a little bit about just the route before you even meet the folks that are involved in your programs. Are there any pitfalls you see people stymied by, kind of over and over again, things you wish you could warn folks about, traps, common mistakes that can set you back and make it so that you need the assistance of a nonprofit program? Do you want to start, Kathy? Do you see anything over and over again?
Don't commit crimes. That's a big problem. Focus on real needs. Avoid getting involved in substance abuse. That's a big problem for many of our families. Don't have children out of wedlock. That's another big problem that we have. Focus on education. We believe that the key to breaking the generational cycle of homelessness is getting an education, starting at birth, 6 weeks to on, to be in quality educational daycare, which, of course, requires us to have enough quality early education daycare slots, which we don't have enough in Dallas. But it's education. And don't do the stuff that your parents or your pastor has told you all your life are bad things to do.
Jessica, what about the mistakes that you see over and over again? I know one thing that when I do a lot of reporting on the One Crisis Away series, I hear people over and over again say, I've changed the way that I approach the holidays as far as spending. I don't spend money I don't have anymore. I've really backed off of credit or anything with high interest. Is that something that you've seen people run into that maybe last Christmas that have landed their position kind of this holiday season?
I have seen a lot of the consistency of more of the financial education that definitely needs to be addressed with our schools to be able to handle those things. So, you know, you only have five apples, only spend five apples and save one apple for later. And so that's a mentality that is not completely consistent and has not been set on these families. So a lot of the times that they do come into our financial stability program to help with the financial coaching piece, it is because of this happened last year and I don't want that to happen again. And now I have X amount of debt, and they work on that one-on-one with that financial coach to be able to save an apple for later, spend an apple now, and then spend a little bit extra for the holiday season. But it's a lot of organization and planning ahead that seems so simple, but at the same time, it's something that you have to work at every day, whether it's saving your receipts, making your lunches so you don't go out to lunch, all those preparations that when you're in crisis, the last thing you're going to do is plan for the rest of the week or the month. You're just trying to get through the day.
So tell me, I'll let both of you answer this question because it's kind of a fun one. If your organization had a limitless budget, what is the one thing that you'd like to do for all of your clients in need this time of year? Just Monopoly money, whatever you guys want to do, what would it be? What's the one need you can't do fill all the time now, or the one want that you'd love to give all your clients? Kathy, you want to start?
Well, this time of year, our clients are bombarded with gifts from sources that we've talked about, but also our partners like Rainbow Days give the kids gifts. I would like to give them a scholarship for each of their children for higher education. I would like to give funding for more educational daycare slots for the babies in our care, because those are the things that are going to pay back for the individual, the family, and the community going forward.
What about you, Jessica? What's the one, it doesn't have to obviously be a thing, experience, what would you want to gift to everyone in your program this time of year?
Transportation, mm-hmm. A car for their families to be in safely, along with paid insurance and daycare would be phenomenal for a lot of our families, not having to depend on that. Even if it is, like if you're saying just a one-time thing, if it would be just for the month of December to have that free daycare and be able to save that for later.
So services really seem to be what you feel is lacking from the clients you serve for the most part. Anything else really stick out? Anything else that their life is missing that you think would make it a lot easier for them to live with? We can come back to that. Just food for thought. Here, here's a question. Is there any one story that really stands out to you about a person or a family your organization has been able to help during the holiday season, something that shows you your programs are working or something that has really touched your heart one way or another? Jessica, do you have something in mind?
Yeah. Last season, I had a family that came in wanting to have some financial coaching, and it's because the father had an accident in construction. So he was out of a job and realized that he needed to really count his pennies right now to make it through the season and wanted some help in that. And they had two young girls, a three-year-old and like a six-year-old and a nine-year-old. And mom was stay-at-home mom, didn't have any education. And so coming into our program, we were able to help them make Christmas happen, but at the same time, be able to help them manage the background that the kids don't see. So that way, past December, it's not a somber note anymore, and we're getting ahead and we're getting better. The what really touched me with this family was that they were very proud owners of their mobile home. But like all mobile homes, they need to be somewhere. And so they were renting out the space that they're in. And that's what was keeping them behind. And it was about, I believe, $600 a month just for the space alone. And they were getting eviction notice for the space. And they owned the home. I did not understand at the time. And they were so proud of keeping this place. And that was probably one of the ones that stand out the most for me for that holiday season.
Kathy, what about you? Anything that really just touches you when you think about something that worked during the holiday season?
Well, not specific to the holiday season, but, well, I guess it is specific to the holiday season because we had two families come to us to adopt families, and they were both former clients of Family Gateway, two separate families. One is a mom who had three children. All three of the children have college degrees now. The other is a mom with a couple of children who are still in the high school age. But she's been able to come back and volunteer with us in the after-school programs. And those are really uplifting to me.
And does it mean a lot to both of you to work in the sector this time of year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for joining me today. Kathy Packard is Executive Director of Family Gateway, a Dallas nonprofit that serves the homeless. Jessica Moncada is a case manager with Catholic Charities Fort Worth. Kathy and Jessica, thanks again for your perspective.
Thank you.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered by Shelley Canavy, with help on the phones today from Braylon Becton. Lindsay Connect is associate producer. Our executive producer is Jeff Whittington. Once again, our phone number is 800-933-5372. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at CourtneyLC82, and you can contact us via email at think@kera.org. Once again, I'm Courtney Collins in today for Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.